welcome everybody to the meeting of the TLE Office Standing Committee. My name is Christian Esselman. I'm with the interim chair of this standing committee. And today we have a few guests who are, let's say, from outside the working group. So perhaps we should do a quick tour to introduce ourselves. Maybe John, you want to
come
forward?
I'm John Crane. I'm the chief SSR officer at ICANN. Kind of related to some of the stuff you're doing. I'm also on the board of the DNSO ARC, which is doing some hosting.
Fabien Boudel, responsible for stakeholder engagement in the Ocean Region, that's Pacific Island, Australia.
Okay,
stop. Alan
Ensign,
Dot Seeker. Michael Swinkle, staff.
Hi, Pierre Dagino, President of Africa.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Rodrigo de la Parra, and I am Vice President for Stakeholder Engagement in Latin America and the Caribbean.
Christina Nordstrom, Chief Financial Secretary.
Jacques Lato, I'm with Dartier.
Kim Klausner, I can't step.
Thank you, everyone.
I'll introduce my David McCauley with .cc. I'm with VeriSign in my capacity of .cc.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
Sorry.
Okay, so thanks everyone for that introduction. That's a really small on my screen, so I can't even read it. So
I'm not sure what I did here, but
it's like this stamp size. So the objectives for today are basically to provide a recap of the TLE Ops mailing list. What is it in particular? Because we have folks here at the table who are potentially not very familiar with it. So I basically picked up a few slides of the previous ICANN meeting and put them in this presentation. Then I think we should try to, the goal is to try to explore new outreach possibilities to further increase the number of subscribers to the list. To the TLE Ops list, and also then formally establish the TLE Ops program standing committee. Okay. And finally, we need to agree on a work plan for the until the next ICANN meeting. I'm not sure if this is relevant for everyone, but at least for the folks who are on the standing committee, should be participating in this part. Okay. This is really annoying. Sorry about that. So this is the agenda, which derives from the objectives of course. So I will first give a brief overview of the TLE Ops initiative, then discuss outreach possibilities with the ICANN DPs, preferably. Strategic planning and use cases. I'm hoping that Petra Bellstrom of the FAC will also join us at some point, because he might be able to give some input here. Then continuing on with the the formal approval of the standing committee, set the objectives until the next ICANN meeting, agree on a work plan, and finally summarize the things we've done and so that we can later share it with the community. So what is the TLE Ops mailing list? It's actually a basic incident response facility for CCTLDs, but I think it potentially would also work for DTLDs. And it acts as a CCTLD content repository. This means that we're using the list to enable CCTLD operators to contact each other, to find each other's email addresses, phone numbers, and that sort of thing, and names also. And the folks who are on the list are the people responsible for the security and stability of their CCTLD. So it's really the folks that matter in case of large-scale security incidents or large-scale availability incidents. And the list is explicitly open to both CCNSO and non-CCNSO members. What's important is that the list uses a model of personal trust, which means that people that are on the list, they join with their first name, last name, rather than with a role-based account. And the rationale behind it is that we want to facilitate, the further increase of trust in the CCTLD community. And we think that if people see each other's names, that this will help rather than just seeing, okay, this is incident response at cctld.somewhere. Okay, so, and the one thing that we added is a custom script, and this script runs on the mailman server, so it's using a mailman list, and the mailman server also runs a script that every month sends out an email that contains the full list of members of the list, including phone numbers,
email addresses, and that sort of thing.
And the rationale behind that is that this will enable people to also access the list when in offline situations. So if there's a large-scale security incident, then you might still be able to consult your inbox and go through it
to find the people you want to contact. Chuck, you want to say something?
Yeah, you go first.
And the list includes the changes from the previous week, or the previous email.
Oh, right, yes.
So we do something similar with VeriSign actually for RootOps. Are you using vCards or is it just a text list? Because if you use vCards, it's very easy to import into most phone systems.
That's something that we had on our roadmap, I think.
Okay.
We didn't get to it.
Yeah, I haven't got to it yet. Okay.
And also the approach that we took when we developed this, when we set up the system, was to keep it as simple as possible so that the whole system would be open to every CCTLD on the planet.
And with the budget constraint, we had of $0.
that helped a lot, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously the impact we're trying to achieve here is to further improve the incident response capabilities of the CCTLD community as a whole. And the whole, let's say, the mailing list was set up by the Seeker working group, and we worked on it for about a year.
So what's the current status? The current status is that we have 139 CCTLDs on the list, ASCII CCTLDs, plus 27 IDNs. So that's roughly about 58-59% of all CCTLDs out there. And what we would need is, so what we have been doing while we set up the list was actually chase CCTLDs and try to get them to join the list. But I think that at least ICANN staff, we kind of run out of, possibilities. So we would like to ask the ICANN VPs to, try to help us there. Yes, Mark.
Just one point. And that's why I've not invited all VPs. One of the reasons is if you would look at the distribution, the geographic distribution, it's clearly of, say, the CCs are lacking from your area. And we, say in Fort or internally, especially Gabi, ran out of knowledge or contacts with some, and we have some very weird ones on that list. I think the most interesting one is, in my view, is Vatican City and Monaco. Monaco is very difficult to get in touch with.
Yeah.
But, say, through all kinds of contacts, Gabi was able to get them on that list.
Yep.
And the same is true for Vatican City. They do not play any role within the center community, nor within ICANN. You hardly see them, but they're on this list. So, and adding more, and that's probably the most important reason, again, for putting in extra effort, the more CCs are member of this list, the more valuable it becomes. That was the starting point, say the Seeker working group as well.
Yeah.
It's really, you can't reach all of them, but if you can have 90% of them, that
would be great. Yeah. And that's also why we took this, very technologically easy approach in order to try to get as many CCTLDs to sign up as possible.
Okay, so this is the current state of affairs, and this is like the overview of the TLD ops, ecosystem. It's a bit of a buzzword, but anyway. So on the left, there's the CCTLD with what we call the security and stability contacts, and these are the folks that are actually on the list. And they get authenticated through the admin, the CCTLD's admin contact, and this is an interaction with the ICANN staff who performs that validation. And then once the ICANN staff have authenticated the IANA admin contact as the person responsible for the CCTLD, they will add the security and stability contact of that CCTLD to the list. Okay.
Maybe one remark that's important for you as well. Say, as you know, Gabi, yeah, he's that for you.
clever woman.
Say, Kim replaced her. So Kim is sitting in the background. She's now doing the admin part of the of TLD ops. So if there are any questions from your end, that's the person to contact initially. That's quite important.
And so to the right, there's the working group. So the initial working group was the seeker working group, and we transferred our responsibilities to the standing committee, which is providing the, you know, continuity that this effort needs. And we also regularly liaise with ISAC and IANA. So if there's any questions, then just go ahead and stop me. So this is something I copied and pasted from the working group's recommendations. So the key recommendations of the seeker working group were to set up a TLD ops standing committee. Okay, that's what we're doing today. And also to focus on growing the number of CCTLDs on the list for about a year, because the seeker working group finished in July, so hence the June 2016. And also to add, let's say, the contact information that we collect at some point to the IANA database, because Kim Davies indicated, I think, one or two ICANNs ago, that IANA is reconsidering their contact model to also include things like contact addresses of, let's say, what we call security and stability contacts. So what are the key challenges? The first one is, of course, to grow the number of CCTLDs that are subscribed to the list, but also to get the list to be used more often. So what we're seeing right now is that the list is not being used except by the script that generates these messages every now and then. And we would also like to use this meeting to brainstorm or think about potential uses off the list, so that, you know, it keeps staying on top of everyone's mind. Okay, so that concludes the introductory part of this presentation. So in this slide, I added to, what it says there, to discuss potential outreach possibilities with you guys to add more CCTLDs to this list. So I was wondering if you have any, if you thought of any, you know, potential ways to do that. Yes, please.
So thank you, and of course we will be happy to help this this group for the outreach. I think it would be extremely useful if we could have a very, you know, simple document that explains what are the benefits or the what is in it for them, right, for the CCTLD, so that they can feel some attractiveness of becoming part of this list, or what's the usefulness for a CCTLD standpoint. And that would be a basic document we can use to start engaging with them.
Yeah, we actually have that document. We made a leaflet, I think, just before the BA meeting.
A copy.
Excuse me?
You have a copy?
Well, I have it on sitting on my laptop somewhere. You want me to use Sean?
To do that.
All right. If you send it to me, I'll share it. So
yeah. Okay.
Good.
I lost my mask now. I assume you have a list of who's not on there or who is on there.
So there's a website under the CCNSO part of the ICANN site that lists all the CCTLDs that are on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You can do the subtraction.
We actually also had another leaflet that we handed out in Buenos Aires,
mm-hmm,
with the CCTLDs that were not on it.
Okay, I think apart from the leaflets, I was wondering whether we maybe need a specific messaging. I mean, how do you pass the message through? He said, okay, people, I mean, the question would be, what is in it for me? Why would I do it? The experience we have in Africa, that we do have what we call the DNSSEC roadshow, for instance. And we noticed that, and we've been to maybe 15 countries now, workshops and then training people, and still there are issues there. should have the impression that so the places, either they fail to understand this thing or they are too slow to kind of pick up the message. So my point is, is it the messaging that was not the right one? I mean, why would people really sign this? For instance, I mean, okay, you are not a good example because you did quite well. But for so many of them, yeah, it's just about complaining about the behavior. Why are not they really doing those things? Why aren't they feeling that it's important that to have a secure DNS? So, these are questions we are having. So maybe you guys have any ideas or messaging to.
I think the important part is that we enable ccTLDs to tap into their peers, so to speak, and that they can share information on, let's say, security and stability incidents. So this works two ways. One is that you, as a subscribed ccTLD, you can share security incidents with your peers, and also the other way around, you can learn from others what security and stability incidents currently are happening. So it works both ways. But it might actually help to maybe, emphasize that a little bit more.
So one of the dilemmas, I'm on multiple of these lists, and some of them I get hundreds of emails a day, and some of them you get none, right? So the ones where, even though I get a lot of email, there's actual content, so it's useful. With this being purely TLD operators, one of my concerns is that the data won't get on there, because a lot of the instances, the events that we see, don't get noticed necessarily by the CC. They come from the operational security community. One of my colleagues, one of my group, is giving a presentation to the CCNSO about an event, and we have some data out of that. It might be useful to find a way to push information onto the list. So if we've got these lessons learned document that come from working with CCs, and then of course the CCNSO and the TLD, regional TLD orgs have some of this information, maybe there's some way we can package regular messaging to the list so there's actually something on there more than just generated scripts. Because what's going to happen is people will sign up, there'll be nothing on there, and they'll just forget about it.
Yeah.
Because I've seen it time and time again.
Yeah, that's a concern of the group as well.
Yeah.
That's also why we listed the second objective, is to increase the useful use of the list, of course. So one thing that I think we brainstormed about a while ago is to maybe share information on that list in terms of, currently botnets that are currently active and that might affect your systems or something like that. But that's not a trivial task, I would say.
But it's something that I'd be willing to put my staff time on helping to develop materials. If it's going to affect the way CCs operate and improve their security and stability, then we're happy to work with you.
Oh, okay. That would be great.
Yeah. Probably in the case of Africa, there is a challenge with some of the CCs in terms of joining the mailing list, simply because you find most of the technical operations maybe are done outside of the country, so basically they have nothing to share. They depend on somebody else on top of their country. But again, there was another issue I encountered when trying to recruit some of the CCs. There were some of the CCs which were undergoing redelegation, and basically I tried to convince them, you can subscribe today, when you make a full redelegation, you can change. But they haven't done so. And there are some CC representatives for African CCs who probably are not in their respective countries. Take the case for Congo. The technical guy is based in South Africa, and I kept insisting for him to register. He promised to register, but he hasn't done so to date. So I don't know what is the reason, basically. So the critical issue for the African continent, basically, is for CC operators to monitor their performance of their registry, to know exactly what they're going to share or they're going to receive from other CCs. Okay? In that way, they will establish the benefit of being on the mailing list. That's what I can foresee. But in terms of outreach, we have a number of events. Pierre mentioned about the DNS Roadshow, but we have DNS Forum. We have some technical sessions with the FTRD, like initial registry calls, advanced registry calls. These are the events where we can share the benefits. So with that documentation, I can take the initiative for every event in Africa done by FTRD to share the information and see that with the time, maybe the number can increase in Africa.
Yeah, that would help a lot, I would think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for the Pacific case, because I think not many of them are also registered on this, because the same challenges like that where some of the technical functions are run outside. And then also they have role emails. You've mentioned that you really want name. And some of them might be using Gmail. So what is your notation or your format that you want to accept? Would you just accept an email with a .tld that will validate that they're from the CCTLD?
I can respond to that if you want. We've seen these cases before. You're totally right. So we've had a discussion with one CCTLD who refused to get on the list without a role-based account. And others asked questions about that. So we basically explained why we took this approach. And most of them, except for this one CCTLD, were okay with that. In terms of, let's say, Gmail addresses and that sort of thing, we also encountered those, but what we do is we rely on the admin contact. If this guy says, okay, my security and stability contacts are these two people and they have Gmail addresses, then we accept them on the list. There is a risk, of course, that that account gets hacked at some point or something like that. But,
okay. Another addition from what you said, because in the Pacific, because of their smallness, there's always like stuff to know about. Before you even know it, the staff has already moved on to something. But they're still in the organization, but they've moved on to something else. Yeah. How do you, as a maintainer of this list, decide that, these people are current, and how quickly can you change them so that it continues to go to the right technical person that's involved?
We don't check that ourselves regularly. What we do is we rely on the responsibility of the CCTLD operator to notify us.
So the server code actually can be implemented to allow timeouts and refreshes if people aren't active. There are things you can do, but that's a process decision you guys have got to go for.
Yep.
There's pros and cons, but there are mechanisms inside the code to actually do that by default if you wanted to use them.
But this is also why we have the TLD Ops Standing Committee to make decisions whether or not we should accept certain people on the list or not. So Abibu was referring to a case where there was a CCTLD being redelegated, and then the question is, okay, do we accept the old, let's say, operator, or do we wait for the new one?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kind of policy decisions that we make in the TLD Ops Standing Committee.
Another very important point is, again, as you know, in some areas, and that's another reason for creating this ops committee, it is CCTLDs for CCTLDs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an outside organization.
Yep.
This is purely driven by CCTLDs to assist each other. And that's probably different than what you've seen with other lists, etc. as well.
Yeah, so your offer, John, would be great to have. That would be awesome. Also, I will send you guys the TLD Ops leaflet that we developed.
So I have I have one more operational question. Is the committee, the standing committee, a good place? If we have an issue that we want to get onto the list, say we find out about compromises and we want to reach out, which happens on a fairly regular basis, and we normally just do it one-to-one, right? We go figure out we do all the work that this is trying to stop people having to do, right? Figure out where they are. If we have something like that, would we come to the standing committee? Would that be acceptable to come to you guys and say, hey guys, we got something that we think wants to go to your community? And would you be able to, what you probably don't want is get all kinds of SecOp people on the list, but it might be useful to have some mechanism to push stuff, security related stuff, to the list beyond just documents, like active issues.
I think Portland said something.
I think, and that was another reason for getting you involved initially and digging it through, and Patrick, is if you go back to the first slide around the structure, it is, when this group drafted the charter and then it was approved, it's clearly there is a liaison specifically with SSR and with SSAC. In order to either say that allows you to be subscribed to this, participate in all the discussions, and then we still can maintain, say, what I just said,
absolutely, fully support that.
And then it's fairly easy to have that discussion and have a judgment call by the full group, including you and the SSAC person, to make, say, what do we do?
Okay.
So I got a comment. One thing that's very difficult to measure is the success of this mailing list. Because what this does is we mail twice a month to everybody in the list a repository of everybody. Email address, name, CCTLD, and phone number. Mobile phone number. And then if there's a security incident,
it's one-to-one.
It's a one-to-one.
Yeah.
So it's either somebody email somebody directly or send a text message to say, hey, watch out, this is happening to you soon.
Yeah.
Like we're .ca, typically we call somebody .cl, Chile, and then tell them this is happening. But a lot of those communication are not going to be on the mailing list. So maybe one thing we should ask is if people ping somebody offline, maybe they just send a generic email to say, I ping so-and-so offline, just so we know it was used. But then again, it doesn't guarantee. So I've seen instances of people contacting other people, but it's not measurable.
It's not really visible on the list.
But it's useful.
Yeah, it's useful, yeah.
But I just have a question. If there's a big registry who is providing services for a number of CCTLDs, say in the region, would you consider that all the CCTLDs are now handled by this registry?
And the policy
and
that
Maxwell guys off?
The policy that we use is that the CCTLDs themselves are responsible for assigning a contact person for their security and stability. And multiple CCTLDs, in theory, might have the same person responsible for that, for their security. So the list is totally agnostic to this kind of thing.
Yeah. Because I was thinking about COCA, who runs a number of small CCTLDs in terms of technical backend stuff.
Yeah.
So would you consider like COCA has now taken care of all, and you could think, okay, that all those CCTLDs now are subscribed.
Logically, say as long as the admin contacts of all these individual CCTLDs approve that it's the one person or COCA, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's covered from that perspective.
But not by default.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But say that goes. Sorry. This goes back to the individual admin contact because that's the one at the end of the day.
And it's also a result of, let's say, making things as simple as possible when it comes to technology so that the technology doesn't support anything like this. All the responsibility for providing this information is with the CCTLD. And that's also why why a mailing list works for this this kind of thing.
So I think it can also be very useful to learn if you have approached them, what has been the main barrier of not having the missing CCs on this list? Is it only that you cannot find the person, or is it something that they really don't care about, or any feedback? I mean, you've been doing some outreach already, right? So
there has been, as I said, Gabi has done that work. Otherwise, I wouldn't be, say, because Gabi has, I'm filling Gabi's role in that respect now here, that part of it. It's mostly based, what I understood it, together with you, it's been mostly based on personal contacts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, you can go through, she went through the regional organizations, that's fine, but that's a limited number, and that's why there is, so you don't see Jean-Jacques here, because of center, etc. And say the issue for you is not so much the Latin America part, but it's the Caribbean part. And you can see they are not subscribed and they not participate at Lactio D either. So it's a group out there, and within Africa it's the same, in Asia Pacific it's the same, with the Pacific Islands. It's the contact.
I was saying that when that email came out for us to reach out, I did send it to all the 27 CCs in my sub-region.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was interested to also hear the question, why they not subscribe? But it came, did subscribe, and they're never involved in anything, but at least they got the email from me and they subscribed.
I know that for a fact that it took Gabi a lot of time to chase all these people. So for some of them, they eventually subscribed, but it took multiple rounds of asking them and reminding people and whatever else. So it was quite a lot of effort.
Thanks.
I was just going to say that the starting point was going to the admin contact in the IANA database, which actually worked.
Yeah.
Then go to the tech contact there, then try some of the regional communities, try as many of our personal contacts, we've been all trying to get as much coaching conferences, ending up in the end, brain diaries, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the next step on getting more in the almost 60%.
Okay, we want to see Bahir as well. Just like for those from, say, from the oversight committee, this is FAD. And FAD is the assistant in the Middle East.
Thank you, Bart, and good afternoon, everybody. Apologies for coming in a little late. So my name is Fahad, and I cover the Middle East, along with Bahar Asmat, who's the Vice President of the Middle East. I mean, you're talking about measuring this. I can tell you for a fact that in the Middle East, the majority of the CCTLDs and IDN CCTLDs are run by governments.
Mm-hmm.
And now we do have contacts with them. We did work closely with Gabi on trying to onboard more people. But again, as I said, since it's governments who run it, now, when you want to send such a request to a DNS operator right down at the end of the structure, organizational structure, that person would actually have to send it to the maybe the top management. And if the top management cannot understand this, they would say, okay, this is something Western, this is something US-centric, we don't want to get into it. Now, that's one thing. One thing we did is that some of the CCTLDs spoke to us, but why is this necessary? And we explained to them that this is a global repository. It has nothing to do with being US-centric or Western-centric or et cetera. Now, that's one thing. Another thing from actually dealing with, let's say, stakeholders in my region, and this wasn't mentioned to me specific, but this is one of, my analysis or my two cents on this is that some CCTLDs probably opted not to actually respond to the email and get into this mailing list. Of the fear that if, let's say, you guys who are running this mailing list find some kind of a bug or a back hole in some registry system or some CCTLD system, that operator could be fired because it was somebody external who figured out that there was something in their system. So it's kind of that fear reaction that if somebody says that my systems are vulnerable, then I might get kicked out of my job. So I think these are some of the things that we kind of faced directly and indirectly.
Yeah, Eric, go ahead. I think one of the things with your earlier point was from the start, it was very important to make sure this is not an ICANN initiative.
Mm-hmm.
This is an initiative from the CCNSO. It's CCs by CCs for CCs, and the system is run by DNS.org, not by ICANN. The only thing ICANN is doing is letting its CCNSO staff to help us maintain the subscriptions.
Okay, so that is understood, to us. I mean, we all understand what is this about, but the problem is when you talk to many of the CCTLDs, let me just talk about my region in specific. People would say that, people won't understand that ICANN is a community-driven and that ICANN staff are more or less like a secretariat to whatever policy development is done by the community. So I guess it's lack of understanding of what ICANN is, how policy development is worked on. People would say, okay, I received this email from an ICANN staff, so this is an ICANN initiative. So that lack of understanding, I would say.
So maybe in terms of, I think your suggestion would be to emphasize somehow that this is not an ICANN initiative, but a global initiative for and by the CCNSO, with the CCTLD community.
Yeah.
Something
like
that.
So, also in your region, there's a lot of, because these are governments, a lot of them are directly, or have links to certs and things like that. Have you seen any pushback on, you know, is this a cert function, is this not? Have you seen any of that? Because I could imagine when, you know, you say security mailing list, people, especially governmental, they look to cert. So I'm wondering if there's any miscommunication there as well. I don't know. It's just something that popped into my head with that region.
Maybe it's an interesting question. When you say there are with CERT, and that's more a question for the TLD ops group as well, does it as long as they're with one of these groups, and if you cover the same incidents, there is, that's not really an issue. Should it be worthwhile to check of those CCTLDs who are not on the list, whether they are part of a CERT or included in the network through CERT?
The reason that we do not include any CERT is because we wanted to keep it simple.
Yeah.
So there was a previous working group before, the Secret Working Group, and their ecosystem was much bigger. And they, at least my analysis, is that things didn't go that well at that point because the group was just too big to handle. Mm-hmm. So that's why we narrowed it down to CCTLD operators initially. Mm-hmm.
I'm not suggesting to include CERTs. I just
might be a channel.
I understand what you mean. I was just trying to clarify why we focused on the CCTLD operators. Please.
I think the idea of CERTs is good, but the problem is, not in every country you have a CERT that actually does CERT work.
Yeah.
I know a CERT in one of these really kind of upward countries in my region, where they literally only process requests such as, my laptop has a virus on it, how do I clean it? Or my server is not functional, how do I work on it? But I can tell you for a fact that I just looked at the list you shared with me yesterday, and I could see that all the all countries who actually have a cert within the country have actually subscribed.
Okay, that makes sense.
But then I'm talking about only the Middle East.
Yeah.
Okay. So looking at the time, it's quarter to four. Maybe we should try to move on with the agenda. I wrote down a few suggestions that I took from the discussion.
Maybe just one thing to close that loop. Say that there are some suggestions, we work on it, and even in the meantime, if you say the VPs, if you reach out and the list is available, we'll update you or keep you updated on that list and who's on that list, so it's a better check. Please reach out and don't wait for the material to be there. And probably it's a good thing to revisit this, maybe in Marrakesh again, say how we progress in attracting new members and how we could increase that.
Just to add on our discussion is that the response from the CCs is not only about this mailing list, it's even on other issues as well. And I can tell that probably it's because of the IANA database updating when there are changes within the CCs.
Could you explain that?
What I'm saying is most of the CCs do not update in the IANA database, the CC admin and technical contact. So in the end, we end up sending maybe
problem.
The request to different people.
Yeah.
Now, how can we deal with the IANA and, in terms of updating their database?
Yeah. So the question is, as well is, does IANA know how accurate the information in its database is?
I used to work for a CCT. Sorry, so can I speak?
Yes, please.
Sorry about that. Okay, so actually I used to operate a CCTLD before I joined ICANN. That was Dr. Joe. And I remember that the IANA would actually send us on annual basis like these greeting cards, New Year's greeting cards.
Still do.
I think that was one good way where they could actually know that at least the physical address of your contacts on the IANA database is accurate. And then, I think that, I remember I used to communicate a lot with ICANN's regional staff, which was Bahar Asmat again back then as well. And he had a sense of what was happening within the region. But then I'm talking about, my case in the case of Dojo, I'm not sure about the other CCTLDs. But one thing we actually keep a close eyes to is any developments with CCTLDs. So in the Middle East, we actually communicate on a regular basis with the different CCTLDs and IDN CCTLDs, and if we feel that they actually need to update some kind of records on the IANA, we actually encourage them to do that.
And we might even explore, even chat with IANA if they can, I'm not sure if they want to do that, but somehow help us in outreach activities. As part of that, as part of Bobby Boo's suggestion.
Right. Which you just reminded me, we moved our corporate offices, and I didn't update the...
Right, you're off the list, man.
Take him out. Out the route.
I'll find you anyway.
I'll submit the request right
now. Considering the time, let's move on to the next part. So I had a slide in here, and I was hoping that Professor Veldstrom would be able to join, but not here yet. This is more on, strategic. I call it strategic planning. It's more about the use cases for the TLD ops list. So we already discussed this actually as part of the previous discussion. So I think that ICANN providing this kind of information packaging that would be great.
Yeah, and you can completely rebrand it. It doesn't have to look, we can help you with it, and you can rebrand it.
I understand that.
We don't care.
White label information.
Yeah.
That's great. Thanks. So unless there's any other ideas at this point, I think maybe we should carry on. What do you guys think?
So I have...
Yeah, please, come on, go ahead.
I think you've already answered this question already. So on other similar lists, the other use case that we see is the, hey, does anybody know anybody here? It sounds like you've not seen any of that yet. Is that?
No, maybe you know that.
Do you see that?
But the difference is that, we email everybody the full list of 394 contacts all the time. So.
Yeah, on the other list, they can get the contacts all the time as well, but they still do that. Does anybody, people are lazy.
Yeah. Well, we also took a conscious decision to focus on the contact repository part. So.
Yeah.
In distributing the contact information and actually trying to not so much encourage people to share actual incident information on the list because the list is unencrypted.
Yeah.
And that also was a conscious decision because we wanted to, let's say, make the entry barrier as low as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's like different design decisions that influence each other. Yes, please.
I was thinking of a graphical way of maybe moving these things. I wanted to know if any of the, each of the region represented on the TLD ops. Because I'm seeing possibility whereby, for instance, I'm already seeing a few ideas, that we'll be sharing with Abibu on the African CC TLD, for instance. And then I'll be happy to sit with him and then draw a kind of action plan and, for instance, till Marrakesh or whatever. We don't have clear-cut indicators how we are going to move on that. So I wonder whether this is something that eventually could be sent to other regions so that it's about responsibilities at some point that, we want to achieve this. So if you do have people from the region, VPs or managers, but also within the TLD ops, that someone who is, just working with him closely, thinking that this is might yield, more kind of results, the way we are expressing. But at least that's my feeling.
I'm not sure if I got your point.
I think I do. May I translate it pretty correctly? Is saying you work very closely with Abibu. But Abibu is also member of this ops list. So if there is a close connection between the member of the ops list from the region and the regional vice president to reach out as in a concerted effort, that would strengthen and make it easier.
That is
part of it. And secondly, that the two of you, say, from this region, draw up a plan how to progress on that. Is that what you
mean? That's exactly what I mean.
Okay, yeah, that will make sense, yeah.
And we do have, so for your information, say, we do have some, but he's not present, I believe, from Asia-Pacific.
Yeah, that's Gengda. He's with TW Taiwan.
With that, yeah. So, and so not for the Middle East specifically. So that's in it. Yeah, that's more difficult. That's not really region. For Latin America, it's Federico.
Yeah, but it might make sense to also, let's say, have the sub-region Middle East, because my gut feeling here is that also the way to approach people might be different on, let's say, on a per-region basis.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys know the folks you're talking to best. So if you're willing to help out in the Middle East and you know an approach that would work specifically for the Middle East, that would be great. So I would not necessarily divide it into, let's say, the regions that we have. If there is like sub-regions that we must approach specifically, then that would be very good too.
Yeah. No, but that's the reason for checking. It's more for them, so they know who we have on the.
Oh, okay.
To make the link between the regional VP, or say the ICANN person, and the member on the outside.
So actually, one of the things I'll be happy to action after we conclude the ICANN Dublin meeting is to actually phone those CCTLDs who have not joined the mailing list.
Oh.
Maybe explain to them and encourage them to join the mailing list.
Yeah, that will
be
awesome. My personal view is that will be the best approach, because a personal approach to just call people and say, that will, at least I think that works.
And explain to them.
And explain, that's right. Yeah.
I'll do that.
Yeah. And if they want to subscribe, they can either go to KIB.
So I actually have, I worked with Gabby on this homework for our region, and I still have those emails, and I'll be happy to include Kim in those emails. Sure, I'll do that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Just making a few notes here.
Thank you. All right, let's move on. So now we get to the part we have we still need to formalize the members of the standing committee. So we have, at least we have Jacques and Irvin and Ali from Tsutu joining the TLD Office Committee. So Jacques is with .ca, Irvin with Denmark, and Ali is with the Comoros Islands. So then we have, let's say, Frederico and Gang Da and Abi Bu, still unconfirmed.
I was on leave when you say committee.
Oh, okay. So we also have Abi Bu on the committee. That's great. Thanks, Abi Bu.
Yeah.
Great to have you. I also put myself up as an interim chair because I thought I was not necessarily the one to lead this effort. So I asked the group, and they thought, okay, why don't you do it? I'm willing to further chair this standing committee by now. I'll just remove the word interim there, if it's all okay with you guys. So
congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me take an action point to ping Gang Da and Frederico again, because they haven't responded yet.
Okay.
All right. So that's the current thing. And now objectives until ICANN 55. What I need here is try to come up with a few draft objectives. The first one, of course, is to grow the number of members. So I thought, okay, maybe an objective would be to get another 25 CCTLD on the list, which would bring us up to around 165. But of course, we heavily rely there on the efforts by the VPs, for example. So I think that by targeting specific CCTLDs slash regions is something that we just discussed. Right, we'll be sending you guys this information. You'll be calling your members in the bibliothèques, so that would be great. Get the list to be used more often. Well, you've already stepped up for that, so that's also something that we can check off, I think. And then we need to replace the interim members of the committee. So I still need to we'll check with Gengda and Fred if they're still available. If not, then we need to find other people for the LAC region and for the Asia-Pacific region. Any additional comments on this slide?
Yeah, I have one. You're setting up. Setting up the liaison with the with SSR and ESSAC. You want to have the charge. It's more a question of, say, having a dedicated person from your team or even yourself.
Myself.
Yeah. So if it's you, we will subscribe you to the email list, and then it makes communication far easier.
Yeah.
So
a subscription to the standing committee list.
Yeah. We're talking about the standing.
But there's also the TLD Ops Internet Response List itself. Yeah, thanks for the reminder, Bart. I forgot.
And the same is, and that's why was Patrick so important, or not yet Frederico Connectors. I don't know if he's still on that side.
Yeah, Fred's still on that side, I think.
Yeah, but having somebody say...
Just sign up Patrick. He's not here. Volunteer him.
Yeah. Oh, send him an email.
You've got to volunteer.
If that's important, then we have it all closed.
Okay, so what I can do is send Patrick an email to ask, or maybe meet up with him later on during the
meeting. Ask him who. There is an opportunity, and in this way, it's a small group, knowing me, and then you have an easy way of moving forward.
Yeah. Great.
And I suspect that ESSAC is another place you can get content.
Yeah.
You say here in the slide, ASCII CCTLDs. What about IDN CCTLDs?
That's a good point.
I can remember I saw on the list on the website.
It's both. You're right. That's a good point.
And actually, I have another note. So, I mean, looking at the IDN CCTLDs in my region, actually, all IDN CCTLDs are run by the ASCII CCTLD, except for one. So do you think, like, I mean, if a CCTLD subscribes, you can actually subscribe their IDN CCTLD by default?
I think we do.
Because I saw, like, for example, the case of Jordan, where the CCTLD is there, but the IDN CCTLD is not on the list, and they are actually run by the same entity.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was kind of wondering how
I wasn't aware of that.
If you've seen more of these incidents,
I'll check the website again.
That would be helpful.
And I will forward it.
Okay, I'll do that.
We don't re-air very well, so we missed on that. Thank you. Okay, so I think that this is what we'll need to do until the next ICANN meeting, and we'll see. We'll evaluate in Marrakesh how far we got. So the work plan, I don't think that we need to spell this out very in a very detailed level. I think we already identified a number of action points that we need to just set in motion. Oh, that was my last slide. Okay. So I think that basically ends our meeting at this point. Unless there's people who want to ask a question or provide feedback at this point, but I think we already had, say, substantial discussions on the relevant matters here. So with that, I would like to thank everyone for attending, especially the ICANN VPs and John, who are not on the TLE Ops Standing Committee, but took the time to contribute here. So it's highly valuable, and thank you very much. And so we'll keep you posted on our progress and hopefully meet you again in Marrakesh.
Thank you. We'll work out a process for getting stuff that's relevant, right? A white paper together with Mark Monitor, which is what to do.
Oh, that's the tech day presentation.
So that's security because it's relevant to things like that, or if we see specific things, do we think, well, a lot of the stuff we do is not specific to CCs, but registered. We see, the only issue I have with this list, it doesn't have the kind of security
verification that some of the other ones do, right? So that we have to be a little bit secretive. But stuff like that, we should be willing to spread this way. Yeah. You know, for example,
I'll see you at tech day, right?
Okay.
Huh? I'll see you at tech day.
Yeah. I got another meeting.
Good. I'm going to work tomorrow.
There is a
go tomorrow. Dealing with French people all over.
Go after 60.
Dealing with French people all over.
Yeah.
To the
never done that.